W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
From the Darling New Media Studios,
this is the WTH Podcast.
Hello and welcome in to another episode of the WTH Podcast. My name is Nate. With me is Jason and Kareem.
What up?
What's happening?
We are live on Facebook. Live from Mevo is what it says. The best thing is when you have someone who comments that they're watching.
Yes.
Like 2 days later.
Right.
Because they think it was recorded live.
Right. It was recorded live.
But they think it's live at that moment.
It's recorded in front of a live studio. Well, Facebook audience.
Right. So we're on. Let me start a watch party.
Oh, shit.
Starting a watch party. Whoa. That's why you have a cap on those things. Good Lord.
Keep a cap on it.
Fun stuff tonight. Start
tell me what's going on, bro. Tell me what's up.
There we go. All right. We're on. Let me start a watch party. There we go.
There we go. And we have audio tonight.
Yay, audio. What? Oh, there's a flashing shield at the bottom of my computer.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, there we go.
God damn it. Apple, it's not even an Apple product.
Well, I have iTunes on it, though.
I know. It's fuck, I, man.
There we go. Jason's upset. Grievance. Jason's up. Well, that's several shows away. So we're going to be live on Facebook all night. We do three shows and one right after the other, and they will be separate. So we will be pausing in between them. Hope you can hang out and enjoy. And if not, oh, it says it's a private party. Do I want to leave the watch party? No, you know, I'm going to stay on that page. Yeah. So, okay. So we did this last week and you said, no, go up here because it's a, because it make it private. And I said, okay. That's how I knew the person who was watching, who was watching the, video said it thought it was on live. it was not on live. Oh, God damn it. You know, I'm really getting angry with Facebook right now. Yeah. That's what's happening right now. Facebook.
There's something that happens between doing it Facebook Live and then doing a watch party. A watch party is, I think, different than just doing a Facebook Live.
Yeah, maybe. Let me see here. So I go here. No. This is a really good pod.
This is all for you guys so you can see the process.
Right.
How it all works.
It's good
out.
Time. So watch party. Yeah, the watch party is great. Here we go.
It is. Yeah, it has a little.
Yes, the only me, public.
Watch, now it's gonna go on mine. It's gonna be like all of a sudden it's gonna be like, wow, there it is.
Yay!
There it is. See.
Hey, welcome into the WTH podcast. If you're just joining us, you've missed about 3.5 minutes of me. Fucking around with Facebook Live.
It happens every time.
If you're watching live. Now, if you're watching this several days afterward, you got the whole thing.
You get the whole thing.
The whole thing.
So you get to be like, wait, no, I can see it.
And if you just listen to the podcast, you get the whole thing as well. Right. So,
which is how many hundreds of episodes were done before this?
Oh God, we are on episode 700 and something.
Yeah.
735.
So
735.
That's the way this is a newish thing.
Yeah. We only just started doing the live video here, and because I'm doing three things at once and I'm being generous when I say three,
pretty bitch,
because it's more than that. Something's going to slip through.
Well, you know, if you ever want to hand something off to me, bro, I can press buttons.
Can you? Oh, good idea. All you have to do is arrive before we're supposed to start the show.
This is the first time. I would like to say that this is the first time since we've moved to the new time that
do
I have.
Do your job, man. Do your job.
Yeah, man. Sorry, I was the asshole tonight.
Yep. I do have something that I want to play for you. So I put together this video. It's just a quick little video, and it's on Facebook. And it's sort of a cut together of what we did on Monday's show. So this is Monday's show cut together, just a quick little idea, and it's on Facebook. You can't go wrong with the WTH podcast. Hey, welcome in to another episode of the WTH podcast. You know what I need to see? Kevin Hart getting it on.
That is true.
You know, I wasn't mean about it. It wasn't like I said, thanks, asshole.
That is true.
Basically, if you don't know, the semen gets put into straws and then it gets put into liquid nitrogen, so it's right. Frozen.
That is true.
I'm the asshole once again.
That is true.
All right. That if you haven't caught Monday's episode yet, go back and listen. That's what you missed.
You know, the hardest thing for me to get used to doing these live, and I'm working on it and it's good, is looking into the camera, you know, because you're having a conversation also with the audience, and it's so much different than any like improv, theater, any of that stuff. You're supposed to kind of almost ignore the audience a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, or if you do like a movie or like a short film or something, you're not supposed to look at the camera. So,
well, here we don't want you staring down the camera all the time.
No, but
if we glance over to it, it's not a big deal. Because and we've got a monitor right behind the camera where we've got all the videos we might look at are right there too. So, anyway, before we let's just get on with it.
Let's do it.
Let's get on with it. Jason, how was your week? You've got a lovely new haircut.
Oh, yeah. Needed to happen because my hairline has receded at least an inch in the last year.
The second baby did it to you?
Oh, man. I mean, the last one I got gray hairs, and then this one, like, now the hairline is definitely, like, so I was getting to that point where I was getting, like, that, because it's doing, like, that deep pocket thing. Where I have that island out in the front almost. It's not an island yet. Hopefully it never becomes an island.
The island in the stream?
Yeah. That island of hair in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You're like Shawnee's big boy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can do it. I was at that point where I would style my hair to make my wife laugh in different ways like that. So.
Well, that's what you want. Your wife laughing at your appearance.
I mean, hey, she's stuck with me. What's she gonna do? I mean, she has a PhD. What's she gonna do? Pay me alimony?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I got it. No, I'm just kidding. But am I?
Right. All right.
So I had a good week. You know, stay at home dad stuff now, and that is new and cool. It's funny because, like, just not having to deal with having my daughter, like, taking my daughter to school in the morning. My wife's doing that now, and it's not a problem for her, but for me, man, because my daughter knows, she has me wrapped around her finger. She does.
There was this huge hog in front of me.
Well, hey, inappropriate.
Wait a minute.
That was the one I was looking for.
Thank you. No. Anyhow, so I mean, it's things have been pretty cool, man.
Kareem, what about you?
Let me see. Last week, we moved offices for work.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, my office went from being 10 minutes away to my house to 45 minutes.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so that happened. Saturday, we put on a new event called Fevers at the Brick House. So it's like a dance party.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so got a decent turnout for the first one. Trying to think, what happened the rest of the week? Got a potential client for our new venture. We'll talk about later.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of fun stuff going on.
Yeah. And then, we picked, there's four of us that got Kings tickets, so we picked games for the season. So I got the Lakers and the Clippers and the Pelicans. I'm happy about that.
Well, the Lakers are the Pelicans from 2 years ago.
That is true.
Right after DeMarcus got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So at least got those three games that I wanted and, you know, always get the Miami Heat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. We went back up to Reading for a memorial service. So we had that, another few days in Reading, saw my, mother-in-law and, a bunch of the family up there. So both the good and the bad with that. I will say this, my prediction is moving closer and closer to being complete as, Kareem Steelers bowed down to the 49ers, despite the fact that the 49ers did everything in their power to try and hand the game to the Steelers right from the very beginning.
They didn't try. They forced those.
They didn't force anything. It was balls that went off of receivers' hands. That's not a forced turnover. That's a terrible turnover.
If the defender is hitting the ball when it's getting to your hands and it pops up in the air, that's a forced turnover.
Right, but if it hits your hands and flies in the air when the defender is 3 feet behind you, that's not a forced turnover.
That's a forced turnover because he heard those footsteps.
Oh, okay. Here's a headline from Bleacher Report. The Pittsburgh Steelers are in big trouble. Glance only at the final score and you might figure the Pittsburgh Steelers made progress in a week three road loss to the 49ers. After all, Pittsburgh led for much of the afternoon and fell just short, losing 24-20 in Mason Rudolph's first career start. But the truth is Sunday's result didn't feel particularly sustainable, which is never a good sign when we're talking about a loss to an opponent that just won four games last season. Now, sure, the Niners are 3-0, but a careless Jameis Winston handed them a victory in week one. The Bengals forgot how to play football when they hosted San Francisco in week two. And the 49ers still had a lot to prove Sunday against Pittsburgh, but instead they let the Steelers hang around by committing five turnovers and scoring just 24 points on six red zone possessions.
Damn. Now,
yeah, the San Francisco won despite losing the turnover battle 5-2 is a tremendous indictment on this totally unfamiliar Steelers team. Those who figure they'll compete without injured quarterback Ben Roethlisberger and departed stars Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell should not be emboldened by the fact that this game was close. It was only close because San Francisco let it be close.
That's Bleacher's Report.
Four wins.
Man, fake news, bro. Fake news.
That was as much as like fake news right? as you could get.
Right?
I know nothing about football, man.
That's why I'm ignoring you.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, you're making it sound like Bleacher Report, which I've read articles from Bleacher Report before that didn't have to do with football. And I did not think of it as the InfoWars of sports writing.
Well, people that actually pay attention to sports think of it as just InfoWars and sports writing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
do the reporters like get naked halfway through it, like tear off their shirts sweating?
So here's the rundown of things you're talking about. First quarter, Jimmy Garoppolo interception hit 49ers running back Matt Breida in the hands and bounced right to TJ Watt. Pittsburgh went 3-and-out. And had to settle for a field goal. Newcomer Minka Fitzpatrick intercepted a pass on the next San Francisco drive, which is also a deflection.
Was caused by Joe Hayden knocking the ball out of the receiver's hand.
They got one first down and got a field goal.
Yep.
Later, San Francisco fumbled on a missed exchange on a second goal at the Pittsburgh 7-yard line. That had nothing to do with Pittsburgh's defense.
Sure, did. It had to do with the fact that the center was getting his ass whooped.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Did you watch the game?
I did. I watched part of the game.
How much of the game did you watch?
The Niners were losing terribly when I was watching, and then I had to drive back from Reading.
Okay.
But I will tell you that I saw the turnovers, and I cursed at the TV because they were completely, completely unnecessary. Hmm. I'm just telling you, next week... I think is the one of the four wins for Pittsburgh. So get excited, Kareem.
Like I said, did you see the second half of the game?
No, I was driving back from Reading.
Okay, then.
Yeah, the second half when the Niners scored all the points and won? Is that the part of the game you're talking about?
So you missed the 76-yard touchdown that Juju scored. And you missed a 40-yard touchdown that Deontay Johnson scored.
Oh, hold on. They talk about those in this article. Let me go back to it for a second. those are references. You know, I'm trying to get out of this without beating you up too badly.
I'm just saying, you said you missed those. And then
Let me find.
So the offense played a whole lot better in the second half than they played in the first half. The first half,
when they lost the game.
But I have to admit, the offense played like shit in the first half.
Right. So what happened to the defense in the second half? Okay, so
the offense played like shit in the first half.
Okay. Running back James Conner continues to struggle mightily, raising concerns he's a one-hit wonder. Smith-Schuster failed to make big plays in the first 2 weeks of the year, was held to just 2 catches for 5 yards on 6 targets, excluding that 76-yarder in the third quarter. And most of that was catch and run. So that wasn't your quarterback. That was a catch and run. And then another receiver was wide open. So that's a pass that any college quarterback completes.
Isn't that your job as a receiver to get wide open?
Look.
I thought it was to catch the ball.
And to catch the ball. Because one of the 49ers guy got wide open and missed the ball.
But he had 2 and 6, right? He was 3 and 7, I guess is what his percentage was. They had 5. How many targets was
it? Okay, so.
So he had 6. He had 6 targets. He had 3 catches.
Let me.
3 of those were bad throws.
Well, they said excluding the 76 yarder, so that would be 7.
Yeah, so he had 1 good play. John Ledyard, who's an NFL draft analyst and lives in Pittsburgh, tweeted, "It's one thing to be 0-3, but the Steelers have done it with a flair the past 2 weeks. Beat themselves all last week, then were handed a win today, but said, no thanks. It's going to be much better under this regime either. Change got to come."
Of course. I mean, you're saying it like I haven't been a Steelers fan all my life.
Oh no, I know you have,
and don't know that this is what the people in this is what, especially this guy,
he's not a true Steelers fan living in Pittsburgh.
No, there are a bunch of Steelers fans that have always wanted to get rid of Mike Tomlin. They never wanted Tomlin as a quarterback. I mean, as a coach.
Well, listen, I mean, you've already said.
Wait. So. Anything that they do wrong, that's the first thing to do is change the regime. So for him to say that is neither here nor there to me.
All I know is we have $10
right
on this. And I will say, I'm looking, it's looking good every week. Thanks, Nate.
So now hold on. I want to make sure I want to clarify this bet, because Kareem said they were going to win. I think he said 9 games, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So is the bet that they'll win 9 games or that they will only win 4? Because that's my assertion that they'll win 4.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that I'm going to win 4. Okay. I'm going with you because you weren't a betting man.
That's right.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I will make that bet for you.
I am a provocateur.
Right. And I will be your your agent.
Well,
I'll be your Antifa to your George Soros.
Perfect. staying on the football train, Antonio Brown has a sad state of affairs. Although he did take a private jet back to Miami after the Patriots released him, it's been an unfortunate series of events.
It's not unfortunate.
It is that he's wasted this much talent on 2 accusations of rape, and now there's a house painter that claims that he had sex with a woman in front of her while she was painting in his house.
Yeah. So he's not out of football because of that. He's out of football because he's a fucking dumbass.
Well, he's out of football because he had some threatening texts.
Right. So the Patriots would have kept him around this week. He would have
probably.
Played. No, it's not probably. If he had not sent those text messages last week, he would have played Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have got $5 million a day.
Yeah, well, and that's now the contention. So, he also went on a Twitter tirade against.
So that's not unfortunate because you did the shit to yourself.
It's unfortunate for that he's that dumb.
All I gotta say is, you guys watch this week's Ballers?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Damn.
Sorry.
He's trying to get in anyway. He can't.
No, well, because like it's funny because there's a character. I wouldn't say it's exactly like Antonio Brown, but
well, Rashard Mendenhall, who played for the Steelers, writes for that show, so he might have wrote it. Based
that's
on
entirely him. Possible. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some. I mean, this last night's episode was not a fun episode. Well, it's funny because it's that type of show, you know, that's it's right. Not necessarily always.
And they put that show on the night of the Emmys.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't watch the Emmys either, but I did see a headline this morning that the Emmys spoiled Game of Thrones, to which I say, fuck you. Game of Thrones ended this spring. If you don't know how it ended at this point, that's on you.
Especially if you're watching the Emmys, because obviously you don't care.
Right. Exactly.
Like about Game of Thrones, at least.
No.
Because
if
you're watching the Emmys and you care about Game of Thrones, and you already know.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, now you know.
That's right. And thank you for reminding me of what my grievance was.
Oh, perfect. We'll get to that on Monday's show. By the way, there are Republicans who are running against Donald Trump, and three of them went on Morning Joe to go, hey, this idea that we're not going to have a Republican primary is kind of BS. But one, Governor William Weld of Massachusetts, went a little bit further because he started talking about what's been going on with all these Ukrainian accusations.
It's rich, is it not, that Donald Trump spent the entire 2016 campaign first whining about
this
the
is Joe Scarborough
primaries being rigged against him by insiders, and then complaining that Hillary Clinton's Democratic primary was rigged against Bernie Sanders. And yet here he is working furiously, Governor Weld, working furiously to actually have primary elections canceled and wiped off the book, and him being declared the winner without one person being able to vote in those states.
Well, obviously, canceling primaries undermines democratic institutions and democratic elections, but that's far from the deepest dye crime that the president has committed here. He's now acknowledged that in a single phone call, right after he suspended $250 million of military aid to Ukraine, he called up the president of Ukraine and pressed him eight times to investigate Joe Biden, who the president thinks is going to be running against him. Talk about pressuring a foreign country to interfere with and control a U.S. election. It couldn't be clearer. And that's not just undermining democratic institutions. That is treason. It's treason, pure and simple. And the penalty for treason under the U.S. code is death. That's the only penalty. The penalty under the Constitution is removal from office, and that might look like a pretty good alternative to the president if he could work out a plea deal.
That's a Republican.
Yes, I love this guy.
The penalty is death.
I started a impeached Nancy Pelosi Twitter hashtag this weekend because if she does not do impeachment after this shit, she needs to be removed from office. She needs to be removed as the person in charge of the Democratic Party. And she needs to be removed from the state of California as our representative.
Yeah, it's getting kind of crazy because he's essentially admitted that he did things that are, well,
it's getting kind of hectic.
It's getting crazy.
Yeah, you know, every legal scholar that saw that was like, he needs to be impeached like yesterday.
You have to have the even if you don't go through with it, even if you don't have the votes to get it through the Senate, you have a responsibility to hold those investigations and hold those hearings and subpoena the tapes because every presidential phone call is recorded for history and for things just like this. So I understand there may be national security things that it can't be released to the public, but there are committees in Congress that need to hear what was said in these phone calls.
And the fact that they haven't given the tapes to the committee because, quote unquote, he's not in the intel community. He's the president. Like, suck my dick. You need to turn this shit over.
Yeah, he's the leader of the fucking armed forces. Like, that's his.
Exactly.
That's what he does.
So
get the fuck out of here, man.
Nancy, you need to get on your job or we're going to lead a campaign to have you removed as the person in charge of the Democratic of the House and for the Democrats.
In other news, Kareem, white privilege exists.
That was freaking crazy.
Headline, very clean white girl cops to DUI rap. This is an intoxicated ex-cheerleader tried to talk her way out of an arrest by assuring South Carolina cops that she was, quote, a very clean, thoroughbred white girl. She's now pleaded guilty to drunk driving. Lauren Cutshaw, who's 34, recently copped to a misdemeanor DUI count in connection with her arrest last August in a town just west of Hilton Head. Cutshaw, a licensed real estate agent, pleaded guilty to drunk driving back on August 27th in an appearance in the municipal court. As part of the plea deal, prosecutors dropped several other charges filed against her, including speeding, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and DUI with a blood alcohol content of 0.16 or higher. A breath test recorded reported her at 0.18, which is more than twice the legal limit. She was ordered to pay $187 in fines and court costs, and she must also complete the state's Alcohol and Drug Safety Action Program. Now, as detailed in the police report, Cutshaw offered police a litany of reasons why she should be spared arrest after being pulled over at 1:45 a.m. for speeding and driving through a stop sign at 60 miles per hour.
What's that on her lip? Doesn't look clean to me.
She claimed to have only consumed 2 glasses of wine. She told the cop, quote, "I'm a very clean, thoroughbred white girl," and quote, "I'm a white, clean girl," end quote. She also told of her prior perfect grades, National Honor Society membership, and graduation from a highly accredited university. She also mentioned she was an All-American cheerleader and a valedictorian and a sorority member, and that did not impress her arresting officer, who just got out of high school. With references to her whiteness and thoroughbred nature, the cop wondered what that had to do with anything. She said, "Well, you're a cop. You should know what that means. You're a cop. You should know that based on people that come into this room," she was apparently referring to other defendants passing through the police headquarters who were not as white and clean as her. And now, while in the rear of the cruiser, she spoke of her concerns about being locked up, saying, "I don't want to know what it's like. I'm a pretty girl. Please don't make me go in there." So,
like I said, what's that on her lip? It might not be that clean.
Yeah, that's in it, you know, it's entirely possible. If you are over, let me say 19 and still bragging about you were in the National Honor Society, you should go to jail just for that, because nobody cares.
And nobody gives a shit that you're a 34-year-old sorority girl.
Right? I'm a very clean white girl.
Wow. She was drunk.
Fair point. All is forgiven.
I mean, obviously, right? I mean, $186 and...
Yeah, I mean the punishment, not really that big a deal. She's a real estate agent. She should be able to afford $200 and a court program. Yeah. Just saying. She'll be the cleanest person...
She'll be the cleanest person there.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Mm. Now, meanwhile...
Hopefully she doesn't kill anybody in the next time she has a DUI.
Right, going 60 through a stop sign. Yeah. Meanwhile, I have some advice for you, which is prompted by this story from Nebraska. If you're going to send a love letter, make it an email. The next time... Arania Lillard decides to destroy some love letters from an ex-boyfriend, she'll probably opt for a shredder and not a small butane torch. Excuse me. The 19-year-old Nebraska woman set a fire in her Lincoln apartment Monday afternoon that caused $4,000 in damage. Investigators say Lillard attempted to torch a small batch of love notes, but when the paper did not appear to catch on fire, she put them on a bedroom carpet and proceeded to take a nap.
Oh, my God.
What she didn't realize is the letters were apparently smoldering when she dozed off. Her sleep was subsequently disrupted by the sound of a smoke detector going off on her third floor apartment. She woke up when the bedroom carpet was on fire. Lillard was alone in the residence, escaped without injuries, and the other flames were doused quickly by firefighters. It didn't damage any other units in the rental complex, thankfully. Cited for negligent burning, she's scheduled for an October 16th court appearance.
Oh.
Who sends love letters?
Somebody in jail.
Oh, fair point.
No, I'm not saying that.
Fair point. That's kind of racist, Jason.
I'm just saying that's the only people that would be exchanging letters at this point in time.
And she's only 19.
I'm so sick of these Snapchat filters, man. Like, nobody has real pictures. They're all doctored, and they're all, like, the one picture of her is a Snapchat filter picture.
With the fake glasses. Fake sunglasses.
But it also does the beauty face thing. So, like, it makes her also look like she might be, you know what I mean? Like, it makes you look cute when it's like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, especially when that's your mugshot.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, there's a new museum in London. It's the Vagina Museum, and it's aiming to banish shame.
Okay.
It's going to open on November 16th following a 50,000 pound fundraising campaign. The museum aims to educate and raise awareness of vaginal and vulval health and fighting stigmas. Its founder describes it as the world's first brick-and-mortar museum dedicated to gynecological anatomy. The museum will feature art exhibits, plays, workshops, and comedy nights, all centered around vaginas.
That is not.
That sounds like every other open mic night I've gone to.
The director, Florence Schleister, decided to set it up in 2017 after discovering that Iceland had a phallological museum, which houses the world's largest display of penises, but had no equivalent for vulvas and vaginas. She said the aim of the museum is to erase the stigma around the body and gynecological anatomy for everyone, regardless of their race, sex, or gender.
Has she never seen a Georgia O'Keeffe painting?
Unclear.
All she painted was.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, that's the same time. I mean, there's a lot of dicks that have been painted also. So, and there's only, you know, you can, there's a lot of dicks out there.
It's true.
There's not a lot of vaginas and vulvas. She has a point.
Now, joking aside, and of course the plays aside as well, it's going to be offering an outreach program to ensure that children feel comfortable talking about female genitals from an early age, saying when they're ashamed of their bodies, it becomes really difficult for them to talk about things. It's about destigmatizing this part of the body and being honest about what it does. So,
and also, too, the other thing that's important about this that my wife has reminded me about was, you know, using the real names for things like, you know, your vagina, vulva, you know, because if you don't use real names and say what it is and they don't know that from a young age, it's very easy for somebody to come in and give them names and you not know what's going on. Like as far as molesters and things of that nature. It's a defense mechanism also, mm-hmm. but also destigmatizing too, because it's important.
So you can't call it a hoo-ha, Jason.
No, absolutely not. Yet I have to call it a vagina.
Honeypot?
No, nope.
Love canal?
Nope. Coin purse? None of that.
So that's opening up. Well, just in time for Thanksgiving.
It's opening up.
Yep. The Vagina Museum is opening up.
Well, hopefully.
Get in there.
Gonna have a clam bake.
Oh my goodness! I was gonna make a joke about. I hope it's not one of those normal wet, misty, English days.
Right. It's always damp in here.
But then Kareem made his clam bake joke.
Yep. So while I found that. I found, you know, when you're looking at stories, you find something that leads you another way. And this is on BBC. It's bbc.com/culture.
And, so you know that it's cultured.
And the headline is Disarmingly Intimate Photos of Women. And it's an exhibit at a festival that features work by three female photographers who capture revealing and rarely seen images of women. And you're like, oh, okay, fine. And it starts out, U.S. photographer Susan Macielis first began shooting women who took off their clothes for a living in 1972 when she was in her mid-20s. Traveling around New England, she encountered the county fairs that toured rural parts of the northeastern U.S. Many had a girl show tent. At my county fair, it was called the Hoochie Coochie Tent.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, it's where women danced and striptease acts, and she was fascinated, and over the course of three summers, she went around to the fairgrounds, befriended the dancers, and snuck backstage to capture what their lives were really like, and she also recorded hundreds of hours of interviews in order to blend into the crowd and get the shot she needed. She sometimes dressed like a man. Now, why is this interesting to me? She eventually produced a book called Carnival Strippers that was published in 1976, and the first photo as I'm scrolling down through here, so there's a video, but the first photo that I see is titled Shorty on the Bally, and it was taken in my hometown of Barton, Vermont.
What? So you saw that?
What?
Did you know Shorty?
I would have been three. When this photo was taken. So no.
You weren't there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. In fact, the Hoochie Cooch tent ceased to be a thing before I was old enough to go to the Hoochie Cooch tent.
Yes. Oh, man.
That is true.
But I could hear them say over their loudspeakers, it's showtime at the Hoochie Cooch.
When I went to Burning Man, there was this huge pyramid that was erected, and if you could go into it, but you had to get naked to go into it. So that was the Hoochie Coochie. Okay. Pyramid.
There you go.
That's the only experience I've ever had with coming close to something like that, aside from going to a strip club.
It's showtime at the Hoochie Cooch.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
The Halloween thing that they used to have at Cal Expo?
No.
They had a petting zoo in there.
Do we have a petting zoo at... You know, I worked at this place called the Scare Rounds in Alameda County, Scare Rounds, and we did have something that was like that. It was like a freak show, but like we were walking around and we're like part of things in the freak show tent. Okay. That was a lot of fun. One of my favorite jobs.
Yeah. Sweet.
Sorry.
I'm not sure if you can pick up that book, but if you want to look on Amazon, please go through the Shop Amazon tab at WTHpod.com.
Yeah, or order it at Target and have them deliver it to your car.
I'm pretty sure it's not at Target.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
I would be shocked if it were at Target.
They might be able to order it for you.
Yeah.
It's not Walmart, bro.
What's
no. What's it called again?
The book is called...
Carnival Strippers.
Carnival Strippers from 1976. All right. Speaking of Carnival Strippers from 1976, Marilyn Haggerty preparing for first days of autumn. Oh, yes. The weekend arrives with the farmer's market running Saturday downtown and a homecoming dance Saturday evening at Central High School. Mm-hmm. There's UND volleyball continuing at the Betty with the new coach, leading the Hawks into their second season at home. And on the UND campus, there's a calm before the homecoming events the first weekend of October. Unless the skies start dripping rain, the annual Malpractice Bowl will begin at 4:30 p.m. in Memorial Stadium.
Oh, man.
Last year was the first time the women's students from the medical school won the trophy. The medical men lost last year to the Lawyers of the Future in the annual flag football game. So that's what it is. Sarah Pippen will be out again playing with the med school women. She says the game is not terribly physical. Still, she said it gets pretty competitive. And while the law medicine game doesn't draw as many as the Minnesota Twins, there were maybe 50 in the stands last year. Kareem, are you finding anything?
Carnival Strippers is on sale at Amazon for $189 to $599.
It's out of print is what it is.
Wow. So keep your eye out if you're in the...
Used bookstore.
Used bookstore. Yeah. I'll keep my eye out. Shit.
Autumn ahead. Now, thoughts while eating bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. Somehow the first day of autumn on Monday isn't as exciting as the first day of summer in June. Still, the Greater Grand Forks Symphony is leading the way gently into fall with its Austrian Classics concert Sunday afternoon.
Truer words have never been spoke by somebody that lives in the snow.
Yeah. The U.S. Postal Service is reaching out with job offers. Recruiters will be on hand at the job fair in the Alaris on October 10th. And now for Ask Marilyn, who would have to go walking in a gymnasium if they carried letters for the post office? The answer, not anyone.
Wait, what?
And where?
I see. That's a weird question.
It is. And where do birds go going south for the winter stop for gas? Well, she said some say they try to make it to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
It's not a fact, Marilyn. But Marilyn, they don't have gas.
Well, depends on what their diet is.
Well, I mean, like, they don't need to stop for gas.
Well, you don't know. Maybe cramps? Bird cramps?
I mean, yeah, you never know. You don't want to be in front of that guy.
Yeah, they stop and shit on your car is what they do.
Oh, that bird, man. Oh, watch out for Ronnie up there leading this. he had some chili. He's in the dumpster.
Oh, boy. And the cheerful people of the week are Bill Chavez and Amy Muderman.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Congratulations, Bill and Amy.
Good job.
Yeah, good job. And hey, everybody.
We'll tag you in the.
Oh, they're probably not on there. Anyway, thank you for joining us, whether you've downloaded the show or whether you joined us live on Facebook or later in the week on Facebook. Yeah. We do appreciate it. Please tell a friend about the WTH podcast and spread the good word. And, of course, the Shop Amazon and Shop Target tabs at the top of WTHpod.com. everybody. If you're listening to the download, we'll be back with a fresh new show on Friday. If you're watching on Facebook, we're going away for probably about 5 minutes, and then we'll be back with another Facebook Live. So we will see you then. All right. Bye, everybody.
Peace.
Look at this. What? Look at this. Huh? What?